All right, we are proud to have back to the cafe Janet Kuiper.
Years ago, I quit my job to travel around the United States and then go to Europe. A near-fatal car accident stopped me from going to Europe, but I wondered if a part of me was afraid to travel without a car to a place where I wouldn't know the culture or the language.
Going to Europe now, I wondered what Europeans would think of America after our headstrong president decided to get his rocks off by being the bully and beating the smaller country.
I still felt that fear of not fitting in, even when I have the strong and intelligent John with me. He says he knows some German, so we should be fine in Austria, Germany, and maybe Switzerland. But we're going to 8 countries, and we don't know, like, Italian or French. So we'll learn phrases and assorted languages so that we can try to be respectful.
I was on a flight to Hawaii, and I was waiting in line for the laboratory. There always seems to be a line for a flight this long, you know. It always seems the washrooms were always on demand for a flight this long. So I finally get into the washroom, you know, and I looked into the toilet, and, well, someone lost the battle against a very healthy digestive system and left the spoils in the toilet stuck. I mean, maybe he didn't want to go down in the sewage tank where all the other stuff from this long trip went to. I mean, can you imagine all the stuff this airplane had to carry across the ocean? Well, anyway, so I saw this thing stuck in the toilet. And I went to the washroom, and when I was done, I flushed, and it still wouldn't budge. And so I washed my hands, and I opened the door, and I looked out into the aisle of the plane again. And there was this long line of people waiting to use this cramped little washroom. And I just wanted to tell them all, you know, I didn't do that. And then it occurred to me that everyone that left the bathroom on that plane they would think the exact same thing.
While at O'Hare Airport, we went through customs, and I was held back because there was metal in either my shoes or my watch. But these have reminded me of the many times I've traveled before, to the many times I've waited at airports.
My flight was delayed. I'm at O'Hare Airport, the airport that departs 3 planes every second. Or is that 1 plane every 3 seconds? Oh shit, I don't remember. I hate to wait, and I have to wait at least 3 hours for my next flight. Hey, if so many planes take off here, then why can't I get on one of them? Oh well, so I decided to waste my time in one of the airport cocktail bars by gate L4.
I'm so exasperated. I hate to wait, and all I have is a good book to keep me company. It's really not that bad in this cocktail bar at gate L4. The chairs aren't that uncomfortable, even though they're a pretty ugly shade of green that doesn't quite match anything in the room. It really isn't that bad going to a foreign city.
You know, there's a blonde girl dressed well with a bad perm across the bar, and she's smoking a cigarette. I know I don't smoke, but I'm always tempted to ask her for one. I'd like to taste the tar, the nicotine. It's neurotic, but sometimes I need these crutches to keep me sane.
They're playing a song at the cocktail bar, a song that reminds me of an ex. I wanted to marry that man. He had a knack of being able to envelop me, to take my troubles away. I don't know if I can take away my troubles myself anymore. I don't know if the liquor's helping or the cigarettes in this room. Your photo helps. My little bookmark is the only thing that keeps me company right now. Sitting in this L4 cocktail bar reminds me of my brother. When I was young, you know, he'd pick us up at the airport, but if he wasn't waiting at the gate, we knew to look for him at the seafood cocktail bar. A part of me expects him to come walking through the doorway now, flannel shirt, ski jacket, windblown greasy hair, Coke bottle glasses. You know, when I'd look at his eyes through those glasses, his eyes looked twice as big as they actually were. But now he has more important things to worry about than his little sister, so I'll sit here at this airport cocktail bar, remembering the days when I'd sit with him in a place like this, and I was too young to drink. I took your picture out of my wallet, to the wallet that has so many pictures of men who have come and gone in my life, men who have hurt me, men who have gone through like dishwashing liquid, or like something that I use all the time and replace all the time and don't think twice about. I'll just sit here in this airport trying to care just the right amount, looking at your photo and wondering if I've done this before. You know, I didn't put any thought to leaving the continent. I mean, hell, I've been to every state, even the ones that aren't continental. But I was going through customs, and I needed my passport. I have had this goddamn passport for like 8 years, and I remember after recovering in the hospital and losing my home, I wanted to know where my passport was. This was important to me. I knew I could get another, but I wanted this one. I wanted to have something of my life back. But after customs, that was when it hit me. I'm leaving everything I've ever known here. I'm leaving my language. I'm leaving my culture.
There are too many times when I've said this before, but now I sit here in this apartment, popcorn bowl on the cocktail table, 11:30 at night, the television playing static. It looks too clean in here, not lived in. So I decided to take a trip, get out of this place, into the bedroom, time to start packing. 2 pairs of pants, 2 pairs of shirts, loneliness, anger, shirt, extra socks. It's amazing how much of your life you can fit in a single suitcase.
In Austria, other than the sound of music, John found out that Mozart, whom I love, was born in Salzburg, Austria. John knows a little German, and we have translations of basic phrases in assorted languages to try to cover ourselves, like,
where is the toilet?
Because the toilet is separate from the shower, so you can't just ask for a washroom.
We do not speak the language. We speak English. I am a vegetarian. Do you have an English menu? Or where is the correct train station?
We got to the airport in Salzburg, where we had to take a bus to the terminal, and we heard the usual...
Are any of the items in your luggage not your own? Did anyone ask you to carry anything on board with you? Have you ever left your luggage alone since you've been at the airport? Are you in possession of firearms, contraband, or fireworks?
But I saw with John in Salzburg a lot of references to Salzburger, at little Denver sign, and I thought it was references to burgers from Salzburg. But John told me that in German that just meant that they were actually from Salzburg. I've seen mountains, but it's amazing to be nestled in Bad Gastein, Austria, with beautifully painted buildings, surrounded by the Alps. There were cool things to notice here. We noticed that doors here are thicker than American doors. The part that sticks out is wider than the frame to stop light from other rooms from coming in.
There's a jacuzzi here, but it's like 84 degrees, so I call it a tepid tub to Sean, and we won't go in. Oh, I get paid to go into the sauna, and the pictures had naked people in the sauna. Now we're passing on that one, too.
tipping is more like 10% for food, and people serving drinks don't expect a tip at all.
You don't take food home with you from restaurants. That is considered very rude. So when we order, we have to stuff our faces so that we, because we couldn't take food with us, which hopefully means that we'll eat out less often.
Oh, because of a lack of rainfall, there are pools of yellow pollen all along the sidewalks.
Clocks are a 24-hour time. PM doesn't exist. So remember military times when you read times like 1730 and 2214. Gorgeous cars and names are all over on the road. I've seen Alfa Romeos, Opals, Lancias, Fiats, and other excellent names. I saw strip apart cars with an Audi, a BMW, a Mercedes, a Rover, and I said, wow, this must be where all the expensive cars park. And John said, these aren't expensive. These prices are just jacked up for the United States.
I wondered if English songs would be played in European countries. And last night we heard a song at the end of a bar, and it sounds like I thought I recognized it. And I said, this song sounds familiar. I don't know if I've heard it.
John replied,
it's Bob Dylan.
I was a bit stunned.
Oh, I said, I thought it was someone in German.
John laughed his ass off at this one because it was a song I should have known all along the watchtower. When he started laughing, I said,
well, it was a voice that sounded unrecognizable to me.
Which made him laugh more. We went to a bar where everyone spoke German, and I was standing near the doorway, and the door opened, so I backed up, and a drunk old Austrian man came in and started talking to me in German, and I had no idea what he was saying. John couldn't understand a single word this old man said, so I tried to think of a single word to say,
and I don't know German, all that was going through my head were Spanish phrases.
So I tried to say something in English, and he'd respond with another single word in German, and then he'd say it repeatedly to me,
like, that helps when you don't know the language.
And I tried to say something back in English, and then repeat it in English.
We both repeated things in other languages, like, that helps.
But then the bartender commanded him in German to leave as he kicked the drunk Austrian out of the bar.
Sometimes the understanding travels into the realms of the unknown. All we can do is hope, search, dream, because we will never find. Sometimes the light is not enough.
Too much light makes the baby go blind, and too much light makes the moth rush into the flame and die in a final blaze of glory. And I have seen the light, and I have seen it. What is my choice? To burn in the flame, to burst quickly, to die young, or to slowly slip away, to die slowly, day by day, to let people in darkness pull me in, inch by inch, until the light kills me. We went to the Gastein Curative Tunnel, a place in the Hohe-Tauern Mountains where air temperatures range from 98 to 120 degrees, with humidity between 75 to 95%. There was a huge amount of radon in the air there, and staying in the tunnel for certain lengths of time to help people with their ailments, because the radon in the air helped make their bodies heal itself faster. We went from Bad Gastein to Salzburg, then left Austria and went to Munich in Germany. We walked everywhere before we walked back to the Alps, of course, with more mountains. John noticed in the train ride that the trains are amazingly quiet and they have huge windows on each side of the train.
and I noticed that every small village had one church with a huge steeple. I wondered if it was so that people wouldn't be able to find the church easily, and John wondered if it was such a tall church there to show the world how God looked upon them so favorably because they had such a large church to worship him in.
When walking home today, John noticed that radio stations in the car were tuned to 88.6 because Europe's radio stations fall on even numbers, unlike America's radio station. Almost as interesting was the fact that there were metal roofs throughout this town. It's cool to see decaying or painted homes. Oh, and I learned that in some countries that when eating, your hand should be above the table until you're done with your food. This was a tough thing to remember to do, but you didn't want to look like an outsider. We once tried to hike up a mountain in the Alps. It was wet because it was early and the dew and frost hadn't yet evaporated, but we walked for a while until we got to where we thought was close to the end, at the end of the ski lift. My shoes and socks were soaking wet from the puddles and mud that we had to walk around to get to this point, but John thought that the path continued. He guessed that we were only two-thirds the way up the mountain. Since it gets colder the higher up the mountain you go, and since there wasn't a cloud in the sky to hold any of this heat to the earth, it was really cold, and we didn't bring clothes for cold weather, but we continued walking, and the path pretty much almost disappeared. Then I saw that there was a 20-foot-wide pool of mud, thick mud, that you'd have to walk through in order to continue. I saw that, and I just stopped in my tracks. I was already cold, and my feet were already soaked, but I was not going to walk through the mud to have wet, muddy, cold feet. When John saw the mud, he agreed that we could just go home. Well, at least we tried. We went to a bar, and there was a bread bowl out at the bar, just sitting out. It's funny, but here, food doesn't have a ton of preservatives in it, so you can't keep bread sitting around. People buy everything fresh, from bread to fruit and vegetables.
John said this is why Europeans ate better. They have healthier food and don't eat processed foods. I thought, if Americans ate so many preservatives, wouldn't we stay preserved longer if we're dead? But you think that if Americans were so health conscious, we'd eat better. But John said that Americans probably just rush through life so much that they don't even have the time to treat themselves better. And it was also cool to go into a pharmacia when John needed to get an over-the-counter pain medication. Unlike a Walgreens or a United States drugstore, this place is a small shop with apothecary jars of medications all along the walls. You actually felt like you were getting medicine, not that this was some generic little coated pill in some mass-produced box. German was the second language John learned, but I forgot that he loved drinking excellent Weiss beers there, too. We spent a day in Dachau because we wanted to see the concentration camp museum there. I had been to the memorial in Washington, D.C., and it was amazing. With all the information and artifacts, it took me 5.5 hours to go through that museum all by myself in 2002. They had the lighting rights in the barracks, and you walk through quarters the size that the prisoners were in. You even walk over planks that the Jews had to use because Germans wouldn't let them walk on the same land as them. There were glass boxes that housed the things that the Jews had to give up once they were in the concentration camp. So you see a glass box filled with hairbrushes or black shoes. So if the United States Museum was amazing, it should be stunning to see the Dachau Holocaust Museum, since it was once an old concentration camp. After getting to Dachau, we walked for about 2 miles, or 3 kilometers, to get to the Dachau Holocaust Museum. They had the original doors of the concentration camp at one edge of the grounds, which said, in German, "Work makes you free." John photographed it.
They left the paint stripped away in parts of the wall so that you could see what the walls were like. But they cleaned up a large part of the hall, and the entire museum was just us moving from room to room with large posters and sheets of data to read.
The hall was one of the first concentration camps in existence, and it was one of the only ones that lasted through the reign of Hitler, who, by the way, was not only Austrian and not German, but was also short and had dark hair and dark eyes, and was able to tell people that the better people were all tall blondes with blue eyes. The Dachau site was used as an example for all future sites. The prisoners were even put on work detail at one point to build a new, larger camp so that others could be imprisoned there like them. Later, people were sent there and sent to camp only because they were potential criminals.
We saw a scale model of the entire ground as it was during the Holocaust, and we were only seeing a small portion of the site as it used to be. Seeing that the entire concentration camp area was that much larger was the only thing that helped me to understand how monstrous this place actually once was. We went back to Munich. The locals must have loved seeing another stupid American with her camera on a strap around her neck, but the architecture and statues and fountains were beautiful. We found a small bar there, and all the old regulars there kept yelling in German that they wanted music, but with American voices. Well, someone put a song in the jukebox with American lyrics, and they all looked at us like it was our fault.
We didn't do it. I love being blamed for something that we didn't do. It makes me feel like I'm at home again.
We got to the train station and saw they had Tonner Weiss beer cans there that even cost less than beer for sale in Austria. You know, the beer just tastes better here, with no preservatives and it's fresher. The cans even tasted better, too. In Italy, Sicily had Greek architecture there, and it was much more preserved than in Greece. But before that, we went to Venice, where it is so expensive. People come here to see the site, so everything has a jacked up price. Architecture was under construction, but it was cool to see parts of buildings, and it was cool to see stairs that led from the sidewalks to the water. Over time, sidewalks, roads, and foundations for buildings would be lost to the water. They did have cool things for food, like a Capri salad that was just cherry tomatoes and circles of fresh mozzarella with oil and spices, and fresh mozzarella sandwiches, too. Venice is a city that fell into the water and now has gondolas and gorgeous architecture and churches now everywhere. Being there reminded me of New Orleans with its painted masks and liquor for sale everywhere. It's cool to see where these things that you see in New Orleans actually originated from. John also noted that the soccer field that we saw had concrete walls and then the stands. And then there would be a fence around the field with barbed wire on the tops of the fences.
You think we have violent sports in America, you can't compare it to Europe's audience participation.
We got off the train in Naples, for us stupid Americans, and it was a very dirty town. And no one took credit cards there. Nobody spoke English, and it's very hard to guess what people are saying when we only know a little Spanish, and that's only somewhat similar to Italian. We tried pizza in Napoli, but it tasted like soggy cardboard. Street vendors had tables selling crap like belts, kitchen supplies, cell phones, and sunglasses. Useless stuff in what seemed to be an otherwise useless town.
And as soon as we got on the train to leave, it got sunny. I wouldn't expect less.
Once we got to Pompeii, John also saw a family of four on a scooter as we were there, which was just another chance for us to see how scooters were so common versus having cars in this part of Europe. We spent the entire day after walking through town to get to the Pompeii ruins. There is a complete area of resurrected land from the ruins of this ancient city covered by ashes resurrected during the eruption of Vesuvius in the year 79 AD. It was an exhaustive tour of buildings where we could see kitchens, eating areas, and bedrooms. We then went to Sicily to see Agrigento, four sites where Greek ruins were preserved, and we spent hours in the sun walking around, taking pictures of anything. There were buildings, columns, and remains. We walked everywhere twice to make sure that we saw everything.
One thing John noticed while we were traveling in Italy, he said that it's a very dirty country. John saw one guy spit on the floor inside in the train station, and the both of us even saw a girl just throw trash on an open bus door on one of the stops as we were going to the Greek ruins.
We were learning how to get along once we got to Rome. Every sidewalk in Rome is made of 3 to 4 inch bricks with no grout between the bricks, so it was very uneasy walking.
There were no street signs anywhere near the train station, so we didn't know where to go.
But we made our way around, and it was cool to walk around the Colosseum and see all the gorgeous architecture. I had this mortal fear of everyone hating us in France. I know, French sell American crap and insanely inflated prices. I mean, who started the preposterous idea of selling water other than the French company Evian? But I think most Frenchmen think Americans are classless and tacky. Well, we may be classless and tacky, but I just get this feeling that everyone in Europe is going to hate Americans because of the war. President Bush said that Iraq has weapons of mass destruction, but there's never been any proof. France and Germany were the only countries who protested America's decisions, and they fear that they'll hate us in France because we want to go to their country to see the Eiffel Tower. We told some Texans who were visiting that we were going into Paris, and I told them my fears. Megan, one of the Texans, told us to speak with an English accent and be British. John couldn't pull off being British, so I thought we could be Canadian. I could pull off that accent with no problem, eh? And it occurred to me that half of Canada speaks French, so I'd be screwed with that one, too. Honestly, I am interested in seeing the Eiffel Tower, and we have interest in seeing the Louvre and the Notre Dame Cathedral. We hope the Parisians would also know English, so I hope we wouldn't have a problem. We practiced assorted phrases in French, but I was more interested in taking pictures when we got there. I even tried to take pictures while I was in the taxi. I think that for a while I was sticking my head out the window to take photographs like some sort of dog with their tongue hanging out, like one of the millions of dogs that I saw walked around by people in Europe. When the taxi driver heard me saying that I thought a building was beautiful, he even pulled over so I could take a picture of it. So I guess Parisians do know English, and the people were nice to us, even though I was paying him for a taxi ride. We took photographs of the Eiffel Tower, the Notre Dame, the Louvre, and tons of gorgeous buildings. It was also helpful to listen to the bell rings of bicycles or horns of scooters that don't seem to care sometimes whether they use the streets or the sidewalk. People also drove maniacally on the road, too, even though it wasn't as bad as Italy. So, the architecture was gorgeous, and Parisians weren't rude to us. We then took the train to Brussels in Belgium, but they served cocktails for the 1 hour, 20-minute train ride. The chairs were even comfy. There was a waiting table attached to the seat, like an airplane. There were foot rests, but everything is larger and more comfortable than a plane. I mean, we even got a space towel for cleaning up. The diversity in the architecture was really intriguing, and Clint said that he was surprised by my love of architecture. Well, my family's been in construction for almost a century, and my brother is an architect. And I'm a Dutch girl. The countries I came from are known for their excellent architecture, and some of the greatest architects in the world came from here. Well, after taking pictures and seeing the sights in Belgium, we had to take a train to Amsterdam in the Netherlands.
A woman on a train came around with meals and a fish plate with kale in a jello mold with gelatin, which has animal products in it too, and that was put in front of me. I'm a vegetarian, so I asked her if there was anything vegetarian, and she said that this was their vegetarian meal. So I don't eat because people don't know the definition of vegetarian.
Hell, I thought if people go there for assorted drugs, maybe Amsterdam is a place that we should at least see. We saw that Anne Frank's house and museum was there too, where Anne and her family hid from the German occupation forces. Amsterdam is not open life. There aren't many people out at all. I know, they have legal drugs there. They say marijuana is legal and magic mushrooms are considered a soft drug.
I didn't know the powerful hallucinogenic drugs were considered soft drugs, but what the hell, I guess that's the beauty of a monarchy or capitalism or socialism.
But you get marijuana in coffee shops, and we didn't want coffee. We ordered drinks at a bar, and we then found out that they only accepted cash. Once we got one round of drinks, and it cost us over 27 euros, over 40 American dollars. This pissed me off, so we had to at least find a place that accepted credit cards, and the only place we could find was a Mexican restaurant that wanted us to eat food. We ordered soup so that we could drink a half a liter of Heineken. So what does that mean for one night in Amsterdam for me? It means that I didn't get to see any pot in the menus, I didn't see anyone smoking pot, I didn't see anyone offering it, I saw nothing. I paid almost 50 American dollars for two rounds of drinks, oh, and soup. We did go to the Anne Frank house. It was really cool to go to the house where she stayed in and see films and artifacts in English as well as in Dutch. Okay, so I'm not into the drugs, but at least I saw the place. Not even big enough on most maps of Europe to contain the letters of its name, Lilliputian Luxembourg mixed up in style what it lacks in size. On the train ride, we stopped in Maastricht in the Netherlands on our way to Luxembourg, and then we went to Liège before we actually reached Luxembourg. But a night in Luxembourg was better than a night in Amsterdam. We ended up at a good Happy Days style bar, and the owner even bought drinks for everyone that night too. The bar prices were better, there were more people, and the atmosphere was better than our experience in Amsterdam. John corrected me and said that actually, Amsterdam sucked. I wore shorts for the first time there on my trip. Now, I've tried to fit in when traveling, but I never knew that shorts were an American thing. Women only reveal their legs by wearing skirts. So I was the only one wearing shorts, and all the guys grinned looking at my legs, and all the women wouldn't even look at me. Oh, yeah, John didn't understand how I could feel awkward there because it was so soft. We passed a bunch of towns in France before we got to Zurich, Switzerland, but after a while the scenery started to look the same, like we were traveling through the Midwest United States. It started to look like driving from Ohio to Indiana to Iowa. You do this for a while and it starts to look the same, with the same hills, same foliage, same expanse, looking for something new. After sightseeing, we took a 6-hour night train from Zurich in Switzerland with sleeper beds. John woke me up at 3:45 in the morning, 8:45 in the evening, Chicago time, so that we could get off the train. Even though we were exhausted, I photographed more buildings in Salzburg. We even climbed to the top of a hill and photographed the outside of a castle. The flight to Frankfurt was short, so we saw what we could on our last stop. I was still amazed at the beauty in the ancient architecture, and there was so much forest when you looked out at the landscape from above.
Towns looked like they took up one quarter of the land. Trees were packed everywhere. Even though I was really tired, I was too wired to sleep on the flight back home. I've always loved the idea of being in outer space. So when I got the chance to be a part of a crew to explore a foreign land, due to what no man has done before, I jumped at the chance. People ask me what it's like to be in space, to see a new planet. It's hard to explain all the details, as there are so many you forget. Like when you see the sun in the sky, you even see the Earth in the distance, and it's still dark where you are. The Earth's atmosphere makes the sun's light omnidirectional, but here the sky is black, too, even during daylight. Without the Earth's atmosphere, the stars are always out, and there are so many stars in the sky, so many asteroids, you can even see the dust in the air. The Earth's atmosphere is insulation that stops us from seeing all of the universe. They create gravity in parts of the space station to help people acclimate themselves. But in some stations, you always have to hold on to your equipment because it can float away. And when we go for mission walks, every step disturbs the land. Dust and dirt explodes with every motion. It's a fragile, delicate balance we try to strike when we venture out into the unknown. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
That was enjoyable
with John and Janet. All right.